This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am your host, Corey Fleck, and I am happy to report that we will be, well, talking about a wide range of markets because it sure seems like there is a lot of liquidity still sloshing around the financial world. I want to wish, first and foremost, everyone in Canada, Happy Canada Day, and coming up July 4th for everyone down in the U.S. I am kicking off this show with Rick Bensignor, the founder and editor of Bensignor Investment Strategies. And Rick, I want to throw kind of a general question your way that deals with where's the risk, where's the reward when we look at financial markets where we have U.S. equity markets close to all-time highs, bonds, those are at levels that we haven't seen in multiple years. You look at something like TLT, and that's close to breaking out. And we also have gold at a six-year high. We're seeing money come into risk on, risk off. Where do you see the risk and reward? Let's start off with U.S. markets.
All right, Corey. Well, thanks for having me on again. For U.S. markets, I still think there's upside to the equity market. Our S&P target is 30.32, and that's not a sell-all level. It's just kind of the next target that we think once we stop playing with this now triple high area and then around 29.50 in the S&P, we'll kind of quickly skirt higher to over 3,000. At 30.32, I probably take some exposure off, but that's, you know, look, from where we are now at 29.40 or so, it's still almost 100 points, 3%. It's not huge, but I'm still willing to, just a week ago, we told institutional players to up U.S. equity exposure again, and so I'm willing to lay out odds that, you know, 2-to-1 odds that the market continues higher than gets down under, let's say, the 27.25 level, which is where we've had a double bottom so far this year.
So, Rick, let me jump in here quickly, because if you're trying to play for, say, that 3% move to that 30-32 level, does that mean that this bull market is getting a little long in the tooth, having such a short near-term target?
Well, it's a near-term target for, look, I deal with lots of hedge funds, and 3% is actually a lot to them. So, you know, we try to tactically play the moves that we see and what's the likely course of action in whatever the next move is. And I'll still say the next move is likely higher than lower. But 30.32 is a tactical target. It's not a strategic target. I'd put a strategic target something probably in the 3,100, the upper 31 handle, maybe close to 3,200. And up there, then I probably start thinking that we're long in the tooth. But as most people know, and look, I am a market timer. I do what is said can't be done, which is time the market. And the reality is that as good as I am at doing this, and as good as there are some people who can do this, it's still a very difficult game. The thing that I think you have to that investors should remember, and especially individual investors, is that even though you're generally long equities, you can get out or at least hedge your position very quickly these days with lots of different instruments. So it doesn't. You shouldn't have to think of this like, well, I've got to sell out 30 different names. You know, if I think this is kind of the end of the bull market, I got to sell out 30 names. Well, no, you don't. You know, you could short spiders for a certain percentage of your portfolio. You could buy the ETF instead of shorting spiders if you don't want to short. You buy the ETF with the ticker symbol SH. That's an ETF that when you buy that, you are short the S&P. So you know, and you can do any dollar size you want because these are very liquid. So let's assume the average person doesn't have a futures account. He's not going to short S&Ps in the futures markets, but you can still hedge your exposure very quickly in the market. That if something goes wrong, you can get that locked in hedge very quickly. So even though here on the institutional side, I'm saying, you know, we still have another 3% before the next level to contend with. It's I'm basically saying you don't have to be worried until and unless we got under, let's see, you want round numbers, 2,700, 27.25, because we've sold off twice. We've made it abundantly clear to our clients, both individual investor clients through inthenotrader.com, and also to my institutional clients, that the December low, which so many people called as a bear market and sell the rally off of there, we have been so clear that that not only did not initiate a bear market, but that it was the bottom for all major global equity indices. And we told them that before mid-January. So that, you know, we still able to capture hundreds, the bulk of the rally this year. And again, I think there's more to come. So, you know, if you're an individual investor and you're saying, is this, it's a 10-year-old bull market, you know, we have a triple top kind of near 29.50, I'm not comfortable adding exposure. That's fine, I get that. But it doesn't mean you should be selling out either. And there's nothing wrong with holding your longs and, you know, picking a certain level that if we break down underneath, you want to hedge your book. And there's very easy ways to do that. So, you know, from here, we're talking a little over 200 S&P points. And, you know, in the scheme of things, I think that's not a heck of a lot to have to risk in order to just get comfortable in staying with, at least stay with what you got. If you're not comfortable putting more money in, at least stay with what you got.
Okay. Hey, that's pretty straightforward. I appreciate those comments there, Rick. Can I also just get a quick comment regarding, you mentioned that you time the market, and I know a lot of timing the market does involve reading charts, but what are some of the key factors outside of the charts that you're paying the most attention to?
Well, when I do look at shorts, Corey, I look at them in a way that most people don't. I don't use the standard technical analysis to help make my decisions. I use other models that are more geared for timing. And the other element that I'm really good at bringing into this picture is bringing the whole concept of behavioral finance theory, which I know very well, I was the first to have taught it at NYU, is taking the concepts of bad decision-making that human beings do, and which, of course, includes portfolio managers, and exploiting their ill-timed decisions to take advantage of that. So a lot of what I look at in the charts is beyond RSIs and MACDs and, you know, stochastics and moving averages, that kind of is more common. And I have access to models that I pay for, and they're, you know, they're not inexpensive, that institutions use to better time the likelihood that you have an exhaustion of trend. And that's how I've been able to buy stuff kind of close to lows and sell stuff sometimes, you know, very close to their real turning point, at the high. And an example I often give people is if you watch a stock go from 50 to, let's say, $100 a share, it pulls back to 80, rallies to the upper 90s, and then pulls back under 80, people will say, hey, double top near 100, we've pulled back through the lowest low in between those two peaks, time to get out. That's a real double top. And that would likely be correct, except by the time you sell, you've now sold 20% off of the high.
All right. Well, hey, it's great having you on the show here, Rick. And everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Mark Chandler. Rick, have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Rick Bensignor to start off this show. I am now chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I visit every day. Mark, we're going to skip over this G20 meeting because I don't think there's much more to say. We are simply just waiting to hear what the results are, what the comments
comments are from Trump and Xi. But let's talk about what I think is continuing to drive these markets, and this is Fed easing perceptions. Everybody seems to be pricing in one, and if not more, than one rate cut this year. But when we look around, it just doesn't still seem like stuff in the U.S. is that bad. Yes, some of the recent economic data has definitely been trending in the wrong direction, but you look at the markets, U.S. markets are at or close to all-time highs. What do you think, Mark? Do you think that right now you could consider the expectations, almost peak easing expectations for the Fed?
Yeah, that's how I think we are. I mean, there's four meetings that the Fed has in the second half of the year. The market is pricing in a 75 basis point cut. And I think that there are still some people who are talking about 50 basis points, but after a recent comments by Powell, the chairman, and by Bullard, who's the St. Louis Fed president, the only one to dissent from this last meeting in favor of immediate cut, is not so dovish that he wants to support a 50 basis point move. I kind of think of it like this, that man, is how you conceive of the situation. Does the Fed, what will the Fed do? Will they give us an insurance policy like they did in the late 90s, late in the business cycle, even though the stock market, I think, was up about 20% when they gave us that rate cut then? The idea is that you just take out an insurance policy, just extend the business cycle. On the other hand, what the market seems to be pricing in is a beginning of an easing cycle, not just an insurance policy, but a more serious, sustained campaign. Now, what's interesting is the market has three cuts priced in, but the Wall Street Journal Dow Jones did a survey this week, and they found that economists, not the same as investors, too poor to be investors, that the economists look for only two cuts this year. And so I think that we're at that point where it's hard to imagine the market pricing in four cuts. That would be a cut at every meeting. That would be just I think that would require greater deterioration of the economy than we're seeing. And when everything's said and done, what are we really seeing? You know, at the end of last week, we had the personal consumption expenditures. And this is the 70% or 65% of the economy. And the U.S. consumer, the past 3 months, so this would be March, April, and May data, the strongest 3 months since the crisis, since the great crisis in 2009. And so we got consumers still doing well. Unemployment is at, say, call it 50-year lows. You've got financial conditions, stock market near record highs, bond yields low, not seeing the kind of financial stress. You know, those large banks pass the Fed stress test, and that gives them the right to basically return a lot of capital to investors. And when I say a lot, I mean $175 billion in stock buybacks and dividends. So I just don't see the urgency or the compelling need to begin a big easing cycle.
That's a crazy stat to think about, that much money could be coming out of the banks being returned to investors in the form of dividends. I think it's reasonable to expect that a lot of that money will end up back in the markets. But, Mark, even though, yes, we're not seeing the worst data from the U.S., there has been a general downtrend in some of the recent data. We haven't heard the Fed use that data-dependent term so much as they did anymore, but they are continuing to point to inflation, which is quite frankly stuck, and that is also being used as one of the reasons why they will ease further. How do you think that's playing into it? One, inflation, and two, this general downtrend in some of the data.
Yeah, we have seen, it looks like this, that we have a lot of soft data, and by that I mean like the survey data for June. And so it does look like the second quarter ended on a soft note, but we'll see the jobs data coming after the 4th of July. And I think they will see that was a bit of a fluke, the weakness of the past month. And I think they will see the earnings stay strong. I do think that the Fed is couching their talk about easing in terms of inflation, sort of undershooting their target. It is, of course, it's soft. We're talking about 1.5, 1.6% on the PCE deflator that the Fed targets. I'm not so sure that that's a problem, though. I mean, because it's sort of like, at what price does it cost us to address that? And I'm still thinking that the Fed, because they're overshooting on unemployment, that is, unemployment is below where the Fed says it can be in a sustained basis in the long term. And so if we undershoot on on the unemployment, doesn't it let us undershoot on inflation for a while and without having to take big policy actions? And I tell you, it still concerns me, and I don't know exactly how it works out this way, but I think that somehow the Federal Reserve are going to back ourselves back into this cycle. And the cycle runs something like this. It is not what the Fed tells us. It's not what the conventional wisdom that the Fed kills recoveries. The last recovery I can think the Fed purposely killed was in the early 1980s. And that was with Paul Volcker and a double-digit inflation we had from the late 70s, early 80s. But since then, the economic crisis that of our generation that we've had to live through as adults, the great financial crisis, it was not that monetary policy was too tight. The crisis before that was the tech bubble. Monetary policy wasn't too tight then either. And then early in my career, I can say it's early now. At the time, it didn't seem that way. We had the savings and loan crisis. And again, that wasn't too easy a Fed policy. So I think by the Fed somehow being squeezed back into this easier policy, partly because of the headwinds caused by the U.S. trade policy, I just get concerned that we're going to trigger some other financial excesses. And I'm not sure those financial excesses are where everybody looks. Like right now, everybody's looking at the CLO, the collateralized loan market, or the all the double B corporate bonds. And of course, crisis can happen there. I just think that the crisis typically takes place where we're not looking at it. Places where not everybody, where the Wall Street Journal is not putting headlines together, you know, every other day. That kind of thing. And I'm just not sure what that is yet.
Yeah, that is very true, that usually these crises do come out of areas that people aren't looking at. But right now, we just have these comments of this everything bubble, where it seems like there are excesses across the board in the financial markets. All right, Mark, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. However, we're going to continue this discussion. And for everybody listening on the radio, I highly recommend coming to our website, kereport.com, or downloading the podcast for the first hour and listening to that extended interview, because Mark and I are going to get into some of the gold market. And for a person who does not usually care about gold or even look favorably to it, Mark has some pretty interesting comments that I think you guys will all want to listen to. Finally, seeing that breakout is starting to get some of these more generalists into the market. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back, and we are going to be focusing a bit more on the resource sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping agreed to a ceasefire in a year-long trade war between both nations. They also agreed to restart trade negotiations. At a press conference in Osaka, Japan, the president said the United States will hold off on threatened additional tariffs on Chinese goods.
We won't be adding an additional, you know, tremendous amount of, we have, I guess, $350 billion left, which could be taxed or could be tariffed, and we're not doing that. We're going to work with China on where we left off, to see if we could make a deal.
President Trump is now in South Korea. Earlier, he tweeted he was willing to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and shake his hand at the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas. This is USA Radio News. Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody has enjoyed those first two segments. More focus kind of generally on markets as well as diving into the gold sector. In this segment, I am chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an editor over at Weiss Ratings, writes a number of different newsletters, a couple that I pay close attention to, the Marijuana Millionaire Portfolio and the Super Cycle Investor. Sean, let's start off by talking about the gold sector, with gold finally getting a breakout and moving above a level or hitting highs that it hasn't seen in 5 and 6 years. I want us to dive down into some of the stocks, because you can still make the argument that the stocks are lagging. Some of the bigger miners have started to move, which is typical for kind of a new bull market for the precious metals. But what are you keying in on in terms of stocks, gold stocks, that you are either adding to your recommendations or at least considering?
Right. Well, I'm looking for those stocks that can control their costs and are also growing their production organically, if possible. That would tend to rule out a bunch of stocks. So, I mean, it's not like you want to rule out anything. But those are the things I like. I have to tell you, though, those stocks that will go up the fastest are those that were either losing money at like recent prices or else just barely making money, because their profit margins widen tremendously, or else they start making a profit for the first time in a long time. And so those are the ones that catapult higher. However, those also come with some risk, because when you have a pullback, right, you know that those will collapse. I like to sleep at night. So I like stocks with a good fundamental basis that are growing organically, that have top management. But I also like some explorers as well. And those are performing tremendously too. One thing we haven't seen in this large move yet is we haven't seen silver start to outperform gold. We haven't seen silver miners start to outperform the gold miners. And that's important because that's usually a sign of a bull market is when silver outperforms gold. We haven't seen that yet. So either we're wrong or else we're still very early stages. I believe we're still very early stages and the big run in silver is yet to come. But that's not stopping me from buying silver miners either. Just to give you some examples of like some of the stocks we've added in the past month, we have First Majestic Silver. That's up tremendously. We have Anglo Gold Ashanti, a great global gold miner, the number three producer in the world. It is closing mines in South Africa, and it's really keeping the lid on its costs. It's doing great, great stuff. We own Pretium Gold, which rides a roller coaster when it comes out with its earnings reports, but dang, that's doing very, very well for us right now. We have Wheaton Precious Metals because you should always have a streamer, and that really is probably the best one. We have SSR Mining, which used to be Silver Standard Mining, but then they became more of a gold producer, and so they like changed their name. And those are the kind of stocks that are really good at controlling costs. They either have new projects coming online or else they're doing some other kind of organic growth. They have great management. Those are among the ones that I find really interesting right now. Those are the ones that I've already given to my subscribers. One last one would be Kirkland Lake. We've been riding that horse for a while and doing very, very well. Some people might say it's overbought at this point. You know, the symbol is a KL. Anyone can look at it. It's had a great run. I can see why you might hesitate to buy it now. We bought it a long time ago. But dang, that has super high grades. Oh, I also look for high grades because high grades cover up a lot of problems, and there's always a problem in gold mining. So that has high grades. It has growing production. It has organic growth. Kirkland Lake, there's nothing not to like about it. So those are the kind of companies that I'm looking at.
Plus, yeah, just look at that stock chart for Kirkland Lake. And if you've been riding that for a while, man, you're doing very, very well. But you did outline, you know, some of the royalty streaming companies. Those have been doing well for a while. And those large miners, you did mention something there that I think is crucial. And that is all about keeping costs under control. Because in bull markets, unfortunately, costs also escalate for some companies almost just as fast as, let's say, the gold price can. What are some of the aspects that you key on to get an understanding if companies are actually controlling their costs?
Well, you just look at the year-over-year all-in sustaining costs. Now, that said, we have to understand the companies fudge those things enough that you could probably drive a truck through it, but you can see a trend in a company's cost structure. It's also important, by the way, there are some producing miners that still issue shares, usually to make purchase of like some kind of project or else something like that. That will be punished in any market correction. So you have to be very careful. Is the company you're looking at the kind of company that issues shares a lot? Because if it is, let me tell you, that is going to hurt it big time. So stay away from those. You like companies with cash flow, or at least I do. I mean, one I don't own, but I'm looking at right now would be a B2 Gold. I mean, that has tremendous cash flow. I'd like to buy it on a pullback. I may not get that chance. It like operates around Africa. It has great mines and cash flow. Cash flow will really allow these companies to, when they want to buy new projects, they don't have to issue new shares. So definitely look for that.
Okay, one other quick comment regarding some of these larger companies. One topic that's been on everyone's mind for a while now has been debt levels. How much do you key on in long-term, short-term debt levels of some of these major miners?
Yeah, well, the ones I buy have to have a plan in place to actually reduce their debt levels. Anglo Gold Ashanti is an example of that. They have debt. They absolutely do, you know, and so that might make some people blanch, but they're actively working to reduce that debt and looking stronger because of it. We can have a whole conversation about good debt and bad debt and like stuff like that, but they just have to have a plan and they have to be working that plan. Those companies that, I mean, I can think of some outside the gold space that make acquisitions that just don't make any sense. Actually, I can think of some inside the gold space, but let's not throw stones at like this point. But, you know, sometimes they make an acquisition that you look at, like, what they're acquiring with that debt, and, like, you're thinking, wow, things really have to go right for that project to work. You know, like, say they're going to pick up some project that maybe has been mismanaged in the past, and they think they can run it better, and maybe they can, but maybe they can't. So be really careful what they're using that debt for. That's all I'd say.
Okay, final comment here regarding gold companies. You talked about production being key and making money. Is there a certain level that you like to see in terms of production? A lot of people talk about 100,000 ounces of gold production a year. Do you care about that level?
Well, that seems to be what the market looks at as some kind of magic number. I actually look at production growth, and of course, you might be thinking, well, the guy owns Anglo Gold, a shanty, and they aren't growing production. That's true. They have other things that are actually going for them. But in most of the miners I look at production growth or the potential for production growth. Do they have a new project that they plan to bring online in like 6 months, 9 months down the road? Because that's what the market will probably fixate on, that they have some new honeypot coming on that is just going to be great for their earnings. So look at what they have in their pipeline. I think that's very, very important.
All right, Sean, we're going to wrap it up there, but I do appreciate driving down into some of the stocks and what you're looking for. It's encouraging to see this gold breakout, and I think for all those cannabis investors, still encouraging to see this massive amount of money that is still, for the most part, remaining in that sector. Sean, great chatting with you. If anybody wants more information on any of Sean's newsletters, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I am happy to put you in touch with Sean and his team over at Weiss Ratings. Sean, thanks for your time today, buddy.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are switching our focus to the energy, more specifically oil market, with our good friend Joseph Schachter. He is the founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. And Joseph, let's first just quickly talk about the oil price. Crude touching or coming very close to that $60 a barrel level, close the week, just slightly below there. But I know from being a subscriber of your newsletter that you are expecting a general decline in the crude price to somewhere below 50. Can you please share why and what your targets are?
Yeah, the market reacted to, of course, Trump's tweets about, you know, that they're getting closer. Well, it was more Mnuchin and Lighthizer of the Trump administration saying they were 90% of the way getting a deal. A lot of people were worried that if there wasn't a deal, that it would drag out and it would slow down world economies. We've been seeing slower growth numbers from a lot of companies. We're hearing a lot of companies talk about, you know, for second quarter earnings are going to be disappointing. The guidance on that will start coming out with the earnings in the next few weeks. Second week of July on, you start seeing the massive influx of Q2 results. Same time, U.S. inventories were getting near the top of the five-year band. This week, we had a decline because U.S. Imports came down sharply. And interestingly, the big decline in imports came from Canada. So we weren't shipping as much by rail, and we weren't shipping as much by pipe. That was a disappointment to the market there. But the price of oil backed off at the end of last week, Friday, to $58.18, down $1.25 on Friday. And my guess is that if we start seeing that the drawdowns during the early part of summer are not that strong because the heat wave in the States doesn't, people don't go on holiday and drive anywhere, that we're going to see the inventories not come down as fast as expected. And then we're also going to probably see during Q3 the beginning of the new pipelines coming on. So U.S. production, which was 12.1 million last week on the EIA data, is the high water mark was 12.4 million barrels. That number could get back, should get over that 12.4 during Q3 and potentially could be more than 13, maybe even as high as 14 million during Q4. That build in inventory would cause a build in inventory, and that would be a reason for the price of oil to go down. The other part, of course, is if the G20 doesn't have a firm, conclusive deal, but just says they're going to keep on talking, I think that, you know, President Trump doesn't want a deal right now. I think he wants to drag this out into Q1, Q2 of next year, then get a deal. And then, of course, then he ride that into the election win or to a potential election win.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that we are not going to get any deal. We are recording this later in the day on Friday, so I'm sure there will be some news. But overall, too, Joseph, even if or when we do get some sort of a trade deal, isn't the fact of the matter still that the world globally is stuck in kind of a slow growth mentality? So any sort of major runs in the crude price would have to come from almost shocks to the supply side.
Yeah, and that's what the market was betting on, was that maybe this Iran thing would get worse. Maybe the Iranian Revolutionary Guard would have more of their speedboats attacking, shipping in the area. The United States, of course, has said that they would send more equipment, more naval equipment, and they could always just do convoys with other OECD nations to protect the shipping lanes. He did attack the American military. He did attack with cyber warfare against, military targets in Iran, and maybe that's enough for them to realize, he held back, but at some point he won't hold back, and, you've got to be careful. And then, of course, he did more sanctions against some of the leaders, so those are the ways he's doing it now, rather than, being responsible for more deaths, and then also being responsible for potentially escalating into a war situation when they're trying to get out of Syria and they're trying to get out of Afghanistan, and he doesn't need a new war in Iran to be one of the legacies of his presidency.
Okay, I want to also focus a little bit north of the border, up here in Canada, and the news this week regarding that Trans Mountain pipeline running through BC. It looks like now we're back in the green light, outside of that red light stage that we were in. Do you think this will have any impact on the overall oil market, and what do you think about this ongoing spat between BC and the rest of Canada?
My biggest concern is that this is a political football. The pipeline portion in Alberta will not be a problem to build. The pipeline portion going into the lower mainland, that is along where the indigenous groups have said, yes, we want the pipeline, we want to buy the pipeline, we want jobs for our people along and permanently along the pipeline route. The problem is, and that can happen with construction starting in September, problem is that means you have a very short construction window in 2019, because once you get into the winter, it ends. So you really got September, October, and part of November, which isn't going to get a lot done. So you need to be a go-ahead next March, April, when winter's over, and be ready to move quickly then. The problem is, late October, we have a federal election. And so if Trudeau is going to be losing market share in terms of MP, in eastern Canada, the battleground for the win is going to be BC. And if he is beholden to BC Liberals that are elected and to the Green Party, or, he wins votes from the NDP, then, for him to get over the majority government or to a minority, which is beholden to the Green Party to be staying in power, to get in power, my view is, and we don't see the finalization of the pipeline, and then the egress issues become even more problematic. And that's the basic concern in Alberta, is that, yes, you got the go-ahead here, but that doesn't mean that there can't be a bit of a roller coaster ride here until after the election.
Yeah, your term political football is spot on with that pipeline. But overall, Joseph, it doesn't sound like you see, let's say, the oil market falling out of bed. It's more just waiting for a pullback, a buying opportunity, and trying to ride that maybe late summer wave higher in the oil stocks and sector?
Yeah, I think that the bargains that we're going to get in the next month or two are ones you want to take advantage of, because I believe that we're going to see $70 oil in 2020, and I think in 2021, the construction season that TransCanada's had every summer will be over, so natural gas prices will start firming up. And then as you get closer to LNG Canada coming on stream in 2023, 2024, you're going to have gas ready to go into that pipeline. So the companies that are behind it are going to have to be drilling, and they're going to have to be tying down gas to go into that pipeline. So my guess is that we're going to be looking at both oil and natural gas prices together firming up in 2020. And then by 2022, 2023, I think we're going to see $100 oil and north of $3 gas. If that's happening, this industry is going to be coining gigantic amounts of money. And instead of the foreigners running away from Canada, they're going to be coming into Canada because of, number one, we do have LNG exports starting. Number two, hopefully a change in government that makes the signage up, welcome to Canada, to the international energy investors and energy industry. And then lastly, people will be seeing that the pipelines are being built. And so you go from hating the stocks and them trading at record low valuations, price to cash flow, price to NAV, price to adjusted numbers, and trading below PDP, proved developed producing reserves. And then we get back into where the markets are willing to pay for more than 1P, paying part of proved plus probable. And then, of course, you see stocks that could be up 5 or 10 times. So you want to be able to take advantage when they're throwing them away. Right now, they're cheap, but they're not into distress levels. They're throwing away in many cases. I think we're going to go see them that lower, much lower. The other thing is there's some dividend payers here that are fabulous, that are trading at 9% plus yields, where the dividends, I believe, are very secure, and managements have said they're very secure. And so for individual investors, we cover those in our newsletter. People can go to our website and see some information on that. And the reality is that there's some very high quality, high dividend yielding payers. So you can afford to wait for the turn in the cycle because you're getting paid much better than you can in almost every other dividend paying security while you wait. The industry is so hated that dividend yields in many companies are 9 to 10%.
Yeah, wow. That's great yielding investments right there. Joseph, great having you on the show. Everyone, if you do want more information on Joseph's newsletter, Schachter Energy Report, you can email me for more information. I can put you in touch with Joseph and his team. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the weekend edition. I hope everyone in Canada has a great Canada Day long weekend. Everyone in the U.S., July 4th. Joseph, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend as well.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.